Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin daf Nun Vav. Begin on the bottom of Nun Heyam and Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, and the series of the Mishnah is going back to the Mishnah that started the elucidation of the four different types of Mises Bezdin, which was told about the Niskalin. So there was a whole category of those who get Skilo, and now our Mishnahs are discussing them one by one. So the Mishnah says, Amagadif, the blasphemer, the one who, we call him the Mavarech HaShem, that he euphemistically blesses God, but it's referring to someone that's makal, that curses God, chas Hashem. Ein chayiv ad sheyefarish Hashem. He's not liable for being stoned until he actually mentions Hashem's name. But if, let's say, he doesn't say Hashem's name out of his mouth, rather he hears someone else mention God's name and then he blesses it, then he's going to be exempt. Now, Rabbi Yishuv ben Karchi explains the process, the procedure, as a ketin type of nedvav menal. He says, b'chol yom, every day, meaning as long as the court is deliberating regarding the inspection of the witnesses who are testifying that this person cursed God, donen ha'se'edim b'kinoy. So they judge the witnesses with a nickname. In other words, when they're investigating and asking all these different questions, when they ask, oh, how is it that he said, because they have to hear the facts, so they say, Yaka Yaisi es Yaisi, that Yaisi should hit Yaisi. Now, when we say in this context kinui, we don't mean as in other contexts of this sugya when we're talking about a kinui of Hashem, which is one of Hashem's other not primary names. Rather, it means to say that the courts, they use a slang, something that's a substitute. When we want to mention cursing Hashem, which is not something appropriate, we say it in towards to other things, to other entities. So now anyone that switches around what they want to say, when you want to curse something and instead you put onto someone else, that's called a kinui in rabbinic terminology. Now the reason why they then call it, why instead of Hashem's name do they use Yaisi, is because actually Yaisi is four letters, just like the name of Hashem, which is actually the liability of the being stoned for being Mevarchas Hashem is only when we use the Shem HaMeyuchid, the designated name, which is the four-letter name of Hashem, which is many names of Hashem, which is Yud Kei, Vav Kei. Now, but additionally, the reason why they use the name Yaisi, besides the fact that it's four letters, because the numerical value of Yaisi also comes out to the calculation of the name Elohim. So therefore, that's what they designate that as a euphemism, a reference to Hashem's name. Now, the reason also why they use it in the context of Yaka Yaisi as Yaisi is because, as the Gemara will tell us later on, the liability of being Mevarech as Hashem is only if someone curses Hashem's name through the medium of Hashem's name. So it's Yaka Yaisi Yaisi that Yaisi should hit Yaisi, which again is an exchange for the name of God. Continues the Mishnah, so that's during the deliberations. Nigmar Hadin, when they concluded the judgment, they're coming to say that the person is guilty for being Mevarchas Hashem, then they weren't able to be hargan. They cannot kill the defendant based on the testimony that they heard up until this point, because they never yet heard explicitly from the witnesses, but just that he cursed Bikinui with some type of a nickname. Ella, rather, what they have to do is Meitzin Kalod Mechutz. They kick everybody out of the courtroom because it's degrading, it's embarrassing for this person to say out the full curse that they heard this person say in public. And so when they kick everyone out, Shailin is Agodal Shabinayim Ba'imalai. So they ask the greatest of the witnesses, and they tell him, Emer Masha Shemat Mefarish, say explicitly the words that you heard of this person being Mevarchas Hashem. Lo'imer, and he says it out. Vadiyonin Imdim al Raglein, so the judges stand on their feet for Kurin, and they rend their garments. V'lo'im Achen, and they never fix that tear forever. The Gemara on Daf Samach will explain the reason of this. Vasheni Omer Afani, and the second witness says, and I also heard Kamayu like him, but he doesn't have to go and repeat again the Birchas Hashem. Vashlisha Omer Afani Kamayu, and the third witness, he also says that I'm the same thing, but they don't go ahead. Only one of the witnesses has to explicitly say it out. Tanu, we learned the Brisa, as we referenced before, that this being stoned for being Mevarchas Hashem, it's ad sheyevarch shem b'shem, until one blesses the name of God with God's name itself. Like we said in the Mishnah, Yaka Plain is Plain, that should hit that, or that name should curse that name, which is a reference to the names of God. That's what's considered being Mevarchas Hashem. So the Gemara says, Menonim, where do we know this from? Amash Moli says, Damakur, because the Pasuk says in Mayikra, the Naikiv Shem Begomer, that if someone blesses the name of God, the Pasuk continues and says, Benikfu Shem, in the cursing of the name of God. Now, the reason why he repeats two times the word nikfu is to tell you because until you're nikiv shem b'shem, and then you must then he'll die. The death penalty of skila is only if someone uses the name of God to curse God itself. Now, the Gemara asked me, "My dehai nikiv lishna de beruchi hu." The whole halacha itself, which we're learning out from this pasuk, additionally, that not only is there the punishment is learned from him, but also it has to be shame b'shem. How do we know that when it says b'nekev b'shem, it means to say a term of blessing, again, which means euphemistically, that of cursing? Tachsev, because it says the pasuk, Bamidbar, it says, Bilam says, Mo ekoiv, how could I curse? Loikova kale. God's not cursing the Jewish people. So you see that the term ekoiv can mean cursing. That's where you would know from the pasuk of Vayikra that we're quoting, which is the pasuk, and we're showing that it means cursing. That's where you know the punishment. And vazharte malacha, where do you know the warning? Every halacha has to have both a punishment and the warning. It's from pasuk in Shemais. It says elikim leisikal. One is not allowed to curse God. But on that asigmar, how do you know that? Ve'ema mivriz who maybe say that when this pasuk says the punishment of being nakiv shame, it doesn't mean cursing. It means not to stab it with a knife. Meaning, if someone would have the name of God written on a piece of paper, on parchment, that the prohibition is saying, you're not to stick and make a hole into the name of God. Like it says the pasuk Melachim Beis, it says, that he made a hole in its lid. You see that the term yikov means making a hole. And so therefore, since we know that that's what kavi can mean, so that the original pasuk of Yikur would be the punishment, and the warning of this would be a pasuk in Devarim that says v'ibadetem eshemam. The pasuk says that regarding all the avodah zarah of the Kananim, that you should destroy their names, and then right after that it says l'sasin kein l'shem l'kechem. You're not allowed to do this to Hashem your God, which is that one is not allowed to destroy the name of God. So maybe that's what the pasuk means when it says v'nekiv shem regarding making a hole in the name of God, destroying it, and not cursing. And that's the Gemara. No, in the shem b'shem. As we just explained before, we need to have that the cursing, whatever it is, the naikiv shame is, has to be, as the pasuk repeats it, binakvi shame. And velekin, you don't have that over here in the context of making a hole, because you can't have that one name of Hashem will be destroying the other name of Hashem. It's the knife that's making a hole. And therefore it doesn't qualify for this halacha, binakiv shame, binikvi shame. And that the Gemara says, why? Why not? It could be where you would write two names of Hashem on two pieces of paper and put one on top of the other. And you make a hole through it, so one name of Hashem is going through the other name of Hashem. And that says the Gemara, no. That's making a hole and then making another hole with a knife. That's what it is. It's not that one name of Hashem is making a hole in the other name of Hashem. It's just that after it makes a hole in the top paper, then the knife makes the hole in the bottom paper. So that wouldn't qualify for the naik of shame, but not for shame. So the Gemara says, why not? Someone could write the name of God on the tip of the knife. Uvazava, make a hole in the name of God. So that would be the name of God making a hole in the name of God. And that says the Gemara, who chorfa de sakina de kabaza? It's the sharpness of the knife that's making the hole. It just happens to have the name of God written on that, and therefore it wouldn't be qualifying for benikiv shem, for benikiv shem. So the Gemara says, okay, so it doesn't mean making a hole. But eime perushi shmehu, but maybe it means to say that the punishment that we're talking about in benikiv shem doesn't mean cursing. Maybe it means specifying the name of God with its letters and its explanations. Because the chsiv, like we see in Pasuk Bamidbar, that the word nikiv can mean something else too. It says, "V'yikach Moshe ba'Aaron es hanashim ha'ela," that Moshe and Aaron took these men, "asher nikvu b'shemes," which were specified in their names. So you see that the word "nikiv" can mean not just cursing and not just making a hole; it also means specifying. And "v'zhartari mehachis," so therefore, that would the original pasuk would mean the punishment of this, and the warning of this would be a pasuk in the Vav that says, "es Hashem l'kechatira," Hashem your God, you should be afraid. You're not just say out the ineffable name of God. So maybe that's what the pasuk is talking about, not cursing, but just saying out his name. Says the Gemara, Chada, first of all, the be'in Hashem b'shem b'lekeh. No. You need to have, as we said, the redundancy of a naikiv in that pasuk means to say that it has to be the name of God that's being naikiv the name of God. So if it means cursing, that makes sense, as we said, that Yesi, Yaku Yesi is Yesi. But if it's talking about saying it out, that you don't have. It's not the name of God saying out the name of God. But moreover, it can't be this because Havileas Harasa say this pasuk of Hashem l'kechatira is a warning of a positive commandment, saying fear God. And the warning of a positive commandment is not considered a warning to then have a liability of a death penalty of skill on it. So therefore, it can't be this either. The Gemara says, if you really want to prove that v'nekiv shem v'nakiv shem means to say cursing, is because Amakra, the pasuk says v'yikra, it says v'yikoiv, it talks about the one in the midbar, in the generation of the desert, that he cursed the name of God, it says v'yikiv, and then it says later on the pasuk v'yikal, that he cursed. Says the Gemara, lememr, the nekiv kolohu. So you see that obviously it's telling you that what does nekiv mean that he had done? It means that he had cursed. Now the Gemara says, no, v'dilma adab tarvayu. Maybe actually the pasuk saying that one is not liable until he does both. Maybe that this person was nekiv and mekal. He had specified, he had said at the name of God and he cursed, but one of them would not create the liability. How do you know that one is clarifying the other and not that actually it's two different things? Says the Gemara, leisa gadai tech. No, you can't entertain to say that because the pasuk says in Mikra there later on, it says, haitzeh mekal. They were told to take out the one who cursed to get him killed. But like 7 doesn't say Hoitzi as a Nekiv Emekal. It doesn't say take out the one who is Nekiv Emekal. So Shmami no, Chadihi, obviously it's telling us that that was this one and the same, that the Mekal was the one that was Nekiv, because the term Nekiv means the one that's Mekal, and that's the source of this halacha of Mevarchas Hashem, which is also the source of that it's only Ashivarch Shem B'Shem from the Pasuk Yikra, but Nekiv Shem, but Nakvar Shem. Tarambon, when the Brisa, continuing on this halacha, Pasuk Yikra says Ish. A man, a person. Now, ask the Braisa, Matam Ulama Ish Ish. What does the Pasuk teach us in the context of the Birchas Hashem, meaning somebody that curses God Chas Hashem, Vikra Chavdal, that it says, Ish Ish Ki Kalalakav, a man that will curse his God, what is added from the extra term Ish? Says the Braisa, L'rabes Eso Ivdikacham, it's come to include idol worshippers, non Jews, Shemus Haran al Birchas Hashem, Ki Israel, to say that they're also warned regarding blessing God's name as a Jewish person. And the Ein Nerogin El Basayif, but the way they're executed is by the sword, not the way a Jew is with skila. Shkal Misa Mu B'Bnei Nech Ein El Basayif, says the Braisa, because any death penalty that a non-Jew gets is always going to be by the sword, because as the Pasuk says in Bereishis Tes Tanayach, it says, Ba'adam Dami Yishavach, if someone kills a person, his blood will, he'll be killed himself. Now, which is the for murder, it's the death penalty is a saif, and there is no other death penalty mentioned for Bnei Noach. For Bnei Yisrael, there's many different mitzvahs with different types of death penalties. The only one that's mentioned by Bnei Noach, meaning not the Jewish people, is by saif, and therefore every death penalty, including this halacha of Birchas Hashem, is going to be by the saif. Now, the Gemara asks on this braisa, V'hama hocha nafke, is it really true from this pasuk, the extra word ish, is where we learn out that a non-Jew is prohibited to be Mevarches Hashem? But Mahasim Nafkar, it's from a different pasuk, as actually the Gemara is going to bring this halacha shortly. It says in Bereishis, and we're going to expound this pasuk at great length, which this pasuk is seemingly superfluous. It talks about the command that Hashem gave to Adam Rishon to say you could eat from all the trees that are in this garden before he was chased out of Gan Eden. So when it says the term Hashem there in the pasuk, a Braisa later on would tell us, Subirchas Hashem. This refers to blessing Hashem, that he was commanded not to curse God, which is, again, expounded from this whole pasuk by Yitzav Hashem Lekim. So you see, it's from that pasuk, not from the extra word ish, because we're talking about Adam Rishon, who is we call him B'nai Noach, because from Noach and onward, there was no one else besides his family after the flood. But it means anyone that's not a Ben Yisrael, we see that the B'nai Noach already have that from this pasuk of Hashem. Why are you saying it's from the extra word ish? So Amr Bitzchah Nafchi says, Loi Nitzucha wasn't necessary, as the first Bryce is teaching us from the term ish ish, to add on B'nai Noach, that they're forewarned regarding Birchas Hashem, El Rabbis Es HaKinuyin. That was coming to include any of the other non-primary names of Hashem, which is that a non-Jew has the same warning like a Jew. Because had we only learned from the pasuk of Hashem in Bereishis over there by Gan Eden, we would have thought to say it's only regarding the Shem HaMayuchin, the designated full-letter name of Hashem, because that's the word it says over there. It says Havaya, Yudke Vavke, which is Hashem. Because although in that pasuk it also uses the term Elikim, which is not the primary name, that, as we'll see later on, that's actually coming to tell us something else regarding a warning regarding Avodah Zarah. So that's why the ish, extra ish, is coming to include the Kinuyin, even the non-primary names. As the Gemara tells us about Libud Reb Meir, which that first Braisa would be going like Reb Meir, who says that a Ben Yisrael is warned regarding the non-primary names too from that same pasuk of where it says ish ish. So that when it says the extra letter ish is coming to equate a non-Jew as a Jew for all those kinuyim which Reb Meir is learning out is actually what that pasuk is coming to say, like Elikim, Shakait, Tzavakais. Now, and Rashi just clarifies again, as we mentioned before, when we mentioned kinuyim in the Mishnah, where we said Yaka Yesi is Yesi, That is different when that we in the context we mean kinui is just to say don es edim kinui. That's not a nickname of, that's not one of the non-primary names of Hashem. It means to say that they use some type of a alternative terminology. But in this context, we mean to say literally a kinui of Hashem, one of the other non-primary names of Hashem. And we go in like Remeir. They sound like when the Brice, the pasuk in Vayikra says this pasuk. It says ish ish. A man that will curse his God, he will carry his sin. Says the Brayis. What's this pasuk teaching? But like Kfar Neman, there's a different pasuk that already says this halacha. Whoever curses the name of Hashem will be surely killed. So this is the same pasuk. What's this pasuk teaching? So it says Lafisha Nemar. Since the pasuk says in that other pasuk with Noikiv Shem Meisumas, yeah, there's another pasuk that says if someone curses the name of God, he will surely die. But from that pasuk, you would have thought to say that the liability would only be if it curses the name of the four-letter name of God, because in that pasuk it says Shem Hashem Havaya Yudke Vavke. That's the Shem HaMiyuchad, and the reason why it's called the Shem HaMiyuchad, the designated name, is because that's what Hashem says in Shema Yisgimel, Zeshmi Lahem, this is my name forever, which refers to his four-letter name. Minayin L'Rabbis Kala Kenun, but where would I know that it would include also all the other names? That's what this second pasuk teaches, that if a man will curse his God, which that's a kinui, because that's not the Shem HaMayuchad, Elikav, Elikim, Ishaka, Tzvokah, these are all the non-primary names, and it says over there the halach of Misa, because it says, B'neikiv Shem Hashem Meisumos, which is going also on Kiyikal Elikav, so Mikal Malkam, that's coming to teach that the death penalty will be in all situations. That's Divrei Meir. And again, that's what we're saying, that this first time we'd be going like Remeir, who says from this pasuk you learn the death penalty of kinuyin, and the extra letter ish would include a non-Jew. Again, we know non-Jew from the other one, but that's only we would know the primary name. The kinuyin we know from this pasuk. The Chamaimim, they disagree. They say, no, al shem ha-miyuchad b'misa. Regarding the primary name of Hashem, that, as the pasuk says, v'nekiv shem Hashem, ma'isyumas, that's when there's the death penalty. V'al kinuyin b'azhara. But regarding the non-primary names, then there's only a prohibition, but there is no death penalty. Because although the pasuk says v'nasa chetid, that it will carry his sin, that doesn't mean death, that just means he'll carry his sin of getting karis. So when it says in the pasuk elikim lo yisikal, that's also referring to the kinuyin, and the Shem HaMiyuchad also has the warning from that pasuk, because it says the term elikim could also mean any term of leadership, of a ruler, like it says elsewhere in the Satich Elikim, that it says, I made you into an Elikim, into a ruler. So we learn that the Azhar from this Pasuk, but it's only telling us an Azhar regarding Elikim. But the death penalty, which we learn from the other Pasuk of Maisumas, is only referring to, according to the Chachamim, the Shem HaMayuchim. Now, says the Gemara Pliga, that this the Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha had said, that this halacha of including the Kinuyim is, according to Remeir, which the inference of his opinion was that, but according to Rabbanan, that a ben noach would be exempt on the kinuyin, and that's why he said that this halach of ish ish, including of the kachavim, said Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha is only going like Remeir, who says from this pasuk you see that there is a liability of kinuyin, and that what is including also a non-Jew to have a liability of the death penalty for kinuyin too. But sounds like the chacham would not agree to that premise and would say that Akum would not get the death penalty for kinuyin. Says the Gemara that that's disagreeing with the Reb Meisha, because Reb Meisha holds that even though the Rabbanan, yes, that they say regarding a Jew that are there, they only have a prohibition regarding kinuyin and there's no death penalty, but actually a non-Jew is going to be chayv misa. So therefore, Reb Meisha would actually hold that this halacha of this first price would be the halacha of the non-Jew getting the death penalty would have been not just even according to Reb Meisha, but even according to Rabbanan, because to Reb Meisha he says, Ben Noach Sheberich Es Hashem B'Kinuyin, a non-Jew that curses the name of God with one of the non-primary names, L'Rabbanan Chayev, Kontrabbanan would be Chayev for the death penalty. My tem, what's the reason? Because the Amakra, there's a different Pasuk. The Pasuk says, and this is the Pasuk in B'Noikiv Shem Hashem, that Pasuk that talks about the death penalty, it says, Kiger Ke'ezrach, like the convert and like the resident Jew, which that those words are superfluous. What's it coming to teach? Rather, it's coming to teach is ger ve'ezrachu debeinim benakvu shem. It's only regarding a Jew, whether because he converted or he was born a Jew. That's when you need, like the pasuk says, v'noikiv shem, that you have to specify the four letter name of Hashem to be chay for misa. Aval evi kachavim is being excluded, but a non-Jew afilu b'kinoi, even with a non-primary name, would be liable for the death penalty. So therefore, he would hold, not like Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, that this halacha of Akum being chayiv by kinuyin for the death penalty would be even like Rabban. Now the Gemara clarifies now, Reb Meir, who he holds that actually even a ger and an ezrach are also chayiv the death penalty for a kinuy. And a non-Jew is included in that halacha from the extra word ish, so what does he do with this word, which is seemingly superfluous? What would they be excluding a b'nei noyach from that pasuk if they hold that, that actually Remeir holds that a non-Jew has the same halacha like a ger and an ezrach regarding the context of being chayv in a kinoi? So that says the Gemara, ger ve'ezrach b'skila, he would be excluding by saying that what the pasuk there is teaching, the death penalty of a Jew and a convert, that they get being stoned, that's what's being excluded. But a non-Jew doesn't get that severe death penalty. He only gets killed, as he does in all halachas, with the sword. Because you would have thought to say, since the non-Jew is included in this halacha of being liable for death penalty of kinuyin, israbu, then you would think he'd be included for all the context of that parasha, which would be even with skila. That's what's being learned from that pasuk, that no, the non-Jew does not have the same death penalty, although he is going to be killed. It's going to be with Saif and now it's Skila. Now the Gemara asks for Rebitzch Nafcha, but according to Rebitzch Nafcha, Alib Drabbanan, in the opinion of the Drabbanan, that since the Drabbanan say that a non-Jew is exempt from the death penalty when it's with the Kinuyin, just like Yisrael, that's what Rebitzch Nafcha, the first opinion, held, not like Remesha. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka in the opinion of Rabbanan, Hai Kiger Ke'ezach May Avadle. What does he do with the words Kiger Ke'ezach? What's he excluding? If you would think it would be excluding the non-Jew from Skila, that wouldn't be necessary, because why would you think? There is no inclusionary halacha of a non-Jew to a new to a Jew in this parsha. Contra Meir, you would have thought to say, yeah, Halvis Rabbi Srabi, because he's including the non-Jew, like the Jew, from the extra word ish, to say that he's chayv for kinuyin just like the Jew. But the Rabbanan, according to Mizrach Nafcha, don't hold that there is any comparison between the non-Jew and the Jew. So what is being excluded from Kiker Ge'ezrach to exclude the non-Jew from? Especially since they hold that the Yisrael and the non-Jew are both not chayv for kinuyin. So what does a Jew have more than a non-Jew to think that the non-Jew would be like the Jew? Says the Gemara, Gevre Ezra Chud Be'in Shem B'Shem. According to the Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha and the Rabbanan, what's being excluded is that the Jew, it needs to be chayiv for Misa only if he curses the name of God with the name of God. What he's being excluded for is that, but the non-Jew doesn't need to have cursed the name with the name. Even if he doesn't curse with the name, he'll still be chayiv for Misa. That's what's being excluded. Now the Gemara asks now, both according to Remesha and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, in the opinion of the Rabbanan, the halacha of Birchas Hashem, the primary halacha, we learn now from Vayitzav Hashem Alekim. Like we said, everyone agrees that's from the story of Gan Eden, as we'll see shortly. That's where they're warned regarding Birchas Hashem. Now, regarding Kinuyim, so that was the Machlokes. Remesha held that the non-Jew is warned on that for the death penalty from Kiger Pe'ezrach. According to Yitzchak Nafcha, he holds that no. According to Rabbanan, they hold that a non-Jew is Pater also from Kinuyim. But either way, ish lamali. The question is, what do they do with ish? We said that Remeir expounds the term ish to say, oh, extra term ish includes the non-Jew to be chayiv for misa for kinuyin. Now, according to either interpretation, the Rabbanan don't learn that from the term ish, either because they actually hold the non-Jew is not chayiv for kinuyin, or even though they hold that he is chayiv for kinuyin, but that's learned out from a different, that's learned out from kiger ve'ezrach. So what do they do with ish? Says the Gemara, Dibur Torah Kalashem Nadam. They say the Torah spoke the way people speak, which is one of those Shas Machlekes, and regarding when it's a redundant term, sometimes people speak like that in that poetic way, and that's their opinion that the Torah speaks that way, but there's actually nothing being extrapolated from the extra word, ish, and therefore the Gemara concludes that discussion regarding this Machlekes of explaining this first brayso of the halacha of a non-Jew being chayv for Birchas Hashem. That's what the Yitzchak Nafcha had said, that's only according to Remeir, whereas according to Remesha, that primary halacha actually would apply even like the Rabbanan. Now, continuing on this theme, the Rabbanan in the brayso, seven mitzvahs nitztava b'nei noyach. There were seven commandments that were given to the b'nei noyach, the non-Jews, which the Gemara is going to explain at length. And they are dinin, judgment, justice, uvirchas Hashem, cursing God, avodah zarah, idol worship, gila arayis, sexual immorality, which apply to all halachas of gila arayis, except for nara marasa, which is the halacha of having relations with an engaged girl. because the pasuk in Bereishis Chav by Avimelech says, where he's told you're going to die because of the woman that you took, where it says v'hi bu'ulas bal, that she's a woman that had relations with a man, which tells us that a non-Jew is only liable if he's having relations with a woman who's already had relations with her husband, in contrast to a Naima Rasa, which didn't yet have relations. She only had Kiddushin, not Nisuin. That, as the Gemara will tell us on the next daf, that doesn't apply to Ben Noach. V'shvichas damim, and they're warned regarding spilling blood, which is murder, v'gezel, and robbery, v'eivim menachai, and eating a limb of an animal when it's still alive. As a Ketin Tamid Beis, Reb Chananya ben Gamlo, or Gamliel Oimer, he says, af ala damenachai, that they're also warned regarding partaking of blood from a living animal, as the Gemara will learn the source for all these halachas later on. Reb Chidka, he says, af ala siris, they were also warned regarding sterilization, regarding neutering, taking the ability of procreating away from a person. Reb Shimon, he says, af ala kishav, they were also warned regarding sorcery, witchcraft. Reb Yosi, he says, kala oma b'parshas kishav, everything that was said in the context of the parashas of the prohibitions of sorcery, ben noich muzralav, a non-Jew is warned regarding it. And that's why he quotes from the pasuk in Devarim that tells the Jewish people, lo yimatze v'cha, should not be found by you, maver b'no yibita b'eish, someone that takes his son and his daughter and puts it through the fire, which is called meilach, or kaisim k'samim, that divine divinations, or ma'inim, that do illusions, or menachesh, and do this type of witchcraft called nichush, or mechashev, sorcery, v'chay v'chaver, which is also type of kishru, v'shoy lo v'yedonim, they ask, which are different types of bones, which they use to tell them about what's going on. V'darish al ha-mesim, and they seek the dead people, etc. And as the pasuk says, u'beglal ha-toy avayisayil, because it was because of these abominations that Hashem lekecho mayrish ha-isim mepanecha. That's why Hashem got rid of the Canaanim before you and kicked them out. So you, the Jewish people, don't do this. Now, what we see from this pasuk is from the fact that we see that Hashem punished the non-Jews for these acts of sorcery, obviously, is that they were warned regarding them. Because of Le'onash, Elim Kain His, Hashem wouldn't punish them unless He had warned them. And therefore we see that all those halachas that are mentioned over there regarding Kishuv, they're all, the non-Jews are included in all those prohibitions. Rabbi Lazar, he says, Afal HaKlaim, they're also warned regarding forbidden mixtures, which he clarifies. He says, Mutar B'nei Nayach, the non-Jews are permitted a little bit climb, a lot of weird shotness. The Lezroi climb, or to plant different mixture of seeds. The Einasur, and this that we're saying they're prohibited with climb, is Ela B'harvois Behema, by mating different types of animals, or grafting different types of trees, as the Gemara will explain all these opinions later on. So nothing more clarifies, anonymously, where do we know this, of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach? So Amar B'yach, and it says, the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, which the Mefarshim explained, the Rishonim, that the Pasuk is superfluous, and because we already know the concept of this Pasuk from other Pesukim, and therefore the words are expounded to show the source of the halachas of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. It says in the pasuk, "Be'itzav Hashem alekim al Adam lemer," that Hashem commanded to Adam, to the first man, saying, as follows: "Mikol eitz hagan oichel teicha, from all the trees of the garden, you shall surely eat." So the Gemara takes apart the words of the pasuk. It says, "Ve'itzav," that Hashem commanded, "Elo hadin," that refers to judgment. How do we know this? Like the pasuk says in Bereishis, Hashem says regarding Adam, regarding Avram Avinu, ki datav, because I know him, lamana sheyitzav ezban of a geimer, that he will command his sons, etc. What does it say over there? Lasit stalka mishpat, to do charity and judgment. So you see the term veitzav, where it's yitzav ezbanav, refers to din, to judgment. When it says that veitzav Hashem, that Hashem commanded, zubirchas Hashem, that refers to blessing, cursing God. It says the pasuk in Meyukar, it says, the one who specifies, the one who curses the name of God will surely die. You see that the shame of Hashem is used in the context of being mevarches Hashem, and therefore when it says Hashem's name, it means that we're warned regarding birches Hashem. When it says Eitzav Hashem Elikim, when it says Elikim, that's a reference to idol worship. And so too it says the pasuk in Shmais, that you should not have other gods. That Elikim, it refers to the context of the ruling party that you use to rule you, and therefore you shouldn't have other Elihims, rather only one, which is the Isra of Avodah Zarah. When it says that he commanded, Hashem Elikim commanded Allah Adam on the Adam, on the man, that refers to regarding murder. Because V'cheinu Oimer Sotu says the pasuk in Bereishis, Shefich Dam Ha'odim Nogem, when it's talking about murder, says the one who spills the blood of man, Nogem, etc., that his blood will be spilled, that we see the context of the term Adam refers to Shvichas Damim. When it says lamer is saying, what does that refer to? Zugila rice. That refers to the forbidden relationships. Because v'chein noem esotu says a pasuk in Yirmi. It says lamer saying what? Hein yishalach ishas ishti. Will a man send away his wife v'halcha mi'itoy and go from him v'hoysel ishachar and go to another man? So you see that lamer in that pasuk, it refers to gila rice. When the pasuk then says mikol etz agon from all the trees of the garden, that tells us but v'loy gezel, not something that is robbery. Because from the fact that the Torah, the pasuk had to say that it's permitted for you to partake of the trees of the garden, obviously if it's not, was not explicitly said that it's permitted for you to take, then it's forbidden, which is the Isra of Gezel. And when it says, Achol Techel, you shall surely eat, tells us that mean it's something that's ready to eat, which is V'lo Evim Nachai, and not a limb from a living thing, which is not something that's ready to eat, because a living animal is ready to have children and to procreate. And therefore, that when it says, if it's something that has, that's ready to eat, must mean that, but it can't be an Eber Menachai. Now, Kiyasar Bitzchak, when Rabbi Yitzchak came, Tani Ipcha, he taught the first two the opposite. He says, Ve'itzav, when it says that he commanded Zu'av Yitzchakav, and that refers to the Isra of idol worship. And Elikim, when it says the Elikim, Zudin, and that's what refers to judgment. So that the Gemara explains. Bishlem Elikim Zudin, we could understand that he would expound that Elikim meant judgment. Like it says the passing in Shemais, if a nikr of Balabais Elo Elikim, when it says the homeowner comes to Elikim, in that context actually refers to the judges. So you see that Elikim refers to the ruler, the judge. Elo Beitzav is Avodah Zarah, but to say that Beitzav is refers to Avodah Zarah, my mashma, where do we see that a reference from the pasuk that Beitzav can mean referring to Avodah Zarah? So we have two interpretations. Rav Chisda, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Dini. Chadama one says, approved from a pasuk in Shemais. Says Soru Mahir min aderech asher tzivisim. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, they quickly strayed from the path which I commanded them. Also lehem agam, they made for them an egel masecha, the golden calf, which was avodah zarah. We see that tzivisim beitzav refers to avodah zarah. V'chadam, another one quotes a pasuk in Hosea. Says Ashuk Ephraim. Ephraim is crushed from the hand of his enemies, from the ones who hate him. Ratzitz mishpat. He's oppressed. Ashuk is oppressed, the Ratzis is crushed from the judgment, meaning through the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he went after Tzav, in other words, because he was willing to go after the commands of the prophets of the Baal, who were idol worshippers, so we see that Tzav could refer to Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, my Benai, what's the difference between these two interpretations? The difference between them is regarding a non-Jew who made an idol but didn't bow down to it. Laman da Amar Asu, the one who learns out from the pasuk in Shemais that refers to that they made for them an egel masecha. We see that Mishas Asimachav, that says just that they made the golden calf, that was considered idol worship. We see from that point on that he's liable. Whereas Laman da Amar Kihayil Halach, the one who learns it out from the pasuk in Hosea, because since they went after, tells us at the Azal Basra Apalachla until they go after it and they actually bow down, only then will the non-Jew be considered liable for the Isra of Avodah Zarah. That's the difference if it's from when they already make it or only when they go ahead and actually serve it. Now the Gemara asks, Amar Rava, Umika Lamanda Amar Akam Sha'as Avodah Zarah V'lo Yishtach V'lo Chayiv. Can you really say that? You said the difference between them is going to be if they made the idol but didn't bow down to it. On that asks Rava, is that really possible that someone could say that a non-Jew who makes an idol and doesn't bow down to it, then he's already liable? But V'tanya Lin, the Braisa, it says the following general category. Ba'akum, regarding Avodah Zarah, Devarm Shebezdin Shal Yisrael Mimisin Alein, regarding this that the Jewish courts would execute a Jew for, Ben Noich Musin Alein, so a non-Jew is prohibited in. Ein Bezdin Shal Yisrael Mimisin Alein, if it's something that the Jewish court would not execute a Jew for having done in idol worship, then Ein Ben Noich Musin Alein, then a non-Jew is not prohibited in. So says the Gemara, L'mutei Mai, what's that coming to exclude? Isn't that coming to exclude regarding a non-Jew who made an idol and didn't bow down to it? Because if a Jew made an idol and didn't bow down to it, he would not be executed. So seemingly it's saying that in that context, a non-Jew would not be prohibited. So how could you say that that interpretation learns it out from the eagle would say that already at that point he'd be chayv? So Amar Papa answers Rabbi's question. He says, Loi, no. Lema'ute gifu v'nishuk. What it's excluding is hugging and kissing. Meaning, if he made the idol, yes, that would be included from the pasuk of Vayitzav, which tells us that there was a commandment regarding Avodah Zarah, and we know it's already from making, according to that interpretation that learns it out from the pasuk of Asul Lahem Egel Masecha, even though, yes, a Jewish court would not execute. because as the Gemara tells us later on, the Mishnah of Samach Mabez, that a non-Jew does not get killed for that. But although that's the general rule, but that's being excluded from when it's included from this halacha of the Pasuk of Vayitzav. What is being excluded by saying if the Jew does not get executed, the non-Jew is not prohibited, is just for kissing or hugging an Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara clarifies, Gipuf V'nishik Demai. What type of hugging and kissing of an idol are we talking about? Ile Mekedarka, if it's that's the way they serve that Avodah Zarah, so then actually a Jew, any type of Avodah Zarah that he does, if that's the normal way of doing it, Bar Katalahu, actually a Jew would be liable and would be executed, even if it's even a degrading act. Like for example, by Baal Pa'ar, they actually defecate, they relieve themselves on the Avodah Zarah. Or if they throw this rock on Markailis, the Mishnah tells us and learns out from Pesukim that actually the Chayiv Misa for that. For sure, in such a way like kissing and hugging, which is an honorable way, where all the halachas, if it's the normal way of doing Avodah Zarah, the pasuk learns out from Eicha Yavda Goyim Ho'ela Soleihayim, however it is that they serve Avodah Zarah, that's a liability. So that can't be the case of we're saying the non-Jew wouldn't be forewarned and be prohibited if a Jew would actually be executed in that case. Eller rather says the Gemara, Mu'utish Legadarka, no, it means to say if that's not the way of serving that Avodah Zarah. But rather it comes, he kisses and hugs that Avodah Zarah, the Jew would not be executed. In that case, that's what's saying the non-Jew does not prohibit it in the halacha of Avodah Zarah in that area of halacha. But again, it's not excluding the other halacha of making the Avodah Zarah. That could be that the non-Jew would be liable for the death penalty in that case. Now the Gemara asks, Dinin b'nei noach ifkid? Is that really so that you said the first one of the seven mitzvah b'nei noach that you mentioned were judgments? Meaning setting up courts, having a judiciary system. Is that really so that b'nei noach are commanded in that? But V'tanya learned in the following brisa that says, Esa mitzvahs nitzdavi Yisrael b'mara. 10 commandments the Jewish people commanded in Mara, which was before Har Sinai, when they already left Mitzrayim, they stopped in Mara. There were 10 commandments before the 613 that they were commanded in. The 7 that already the B'nai Noach had accepted upon themselves, all those years, they were following these, what's called the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach, which they still have. The Jewish people accepted that in Mara. And then they added on to those 7, 3 more. Dinin, judgments. The Shabbos, keeping Shabbos. The Kibbutz Av Eim, honoring father and mother. How do we know this? Dinin d'chsev, that they added on judgments, like it says the pasuk in Shemayis, sham sam loy chayk u'mishpat. There he placed for them a statutes and mishpat, so they added on mishpat. Shabbos v'kibud ha'im, how do we know that they added on Shabbos and honoring father and mother? D'chsev, like it says the pasuk in Devarim, it says, kasha tzivcha Hashem le'kecha. It says, by the, what's called the Dibros Achrayinus, when the Torah mentions the Aseres HaDibros, it mentions it 2 times. Once in Sefer Shemayis, and then once in Sefer Devarim. So it says by, when it mentions the mitzvah of Shabbos and Kibbutz Av Eim, it says by both those mitzvahs, like Hashem, your God commanded you. Now, where did He command you? As Rashi explains, you can't say that it's Moshe Rabbeinu who's saying this in Arvis Maiv at the end of the 40 years, and he's saying, oh, like Hashem commanded you in Sinai, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say his own 10 commandments in Mishnah Torah and Sefer Devarim and was telling them his own thing and warning his own mitzvahs. Rather, he was just reviewing to the Jewish people what they themselves had heard and was told to them at Sinai. So whatever is mentioned in the second Aseres HaDibros was written in the Luchais, and this is what they heard in Sinai. So it's essentially telling them what they heard at Sinai. They heard at Sinai, like Hashem your God commanded you. When? This is the first time we're hearing from Hashem. So Avraham Yehuda explained, Kasha Tzivcha B'mara, like He commanded you in Mara, which was, yeah, these 2 mitzvahs you already heard before Har Sinai, which is Kibbutz Av Eim and Shabbos. But one thing we see is that Dinin were only added on Har Sinai onto the 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach. So obviously, dinim is not part of the 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach. How can you say it's the first of the 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach? So Amar Menachem, Amar Abba Avu, he says, it's not a difficulty. Lo nitzrucha ela la'eda ve'edim v'hasra. Yes, b'nei noach, the first of the 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach is dinim is to have judges and judgment. But what they were commanded, what the Jewish people added on when they came to Mara, was that they have to judge with a Sanhedrin of 23 judges. As the Gemara said in the beginning of this Masechta, that Eda, you need to have 23 people, which is, you need to have an Eda which refers to 10 people that are judging and trying to prosecute. You need 10 that are trying to save, that are trying to defend, which non-Jews don't have that halacha. As the Gemara tells us on the next daf from Pesukim, that actually a Ben Noach could get executed with 1 witness and with 1 judge. And so to witnesses and being warned, those are things that were only added on to the Jewish people in Mara. So yes, they had the 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach, which included the dinin, but the extra three that they added on that of dinin meant to say Eda, Edim, and Asra. Nothing more asks, if that's the case, so my vaysifa lein dinin, the why would it say in the brisa that they added on to the seven mitzvahs of the Neich Imara? They add on dinin, but that's not adding on judgments. The judgments is the same. It's rather they added on the mitzvahs of the Dayanim that the criterion changed, is that there had to be judges that were 23 and that they had to have testimony and they had to have warning. Why say they add on judgments? So Elam Rabbi, he rather gives a different interpretation. It says, what was added on in Mara was were the laws of penalties, because Bnei Noach are they're not commanded in that. Because the pasuk it says Vayitzav, which we learn now from Asher Yitzava, over there in that pasuk it says Asher Yitzava is born of Bnei Beisav, when it talks about Avraham Avinu, it says Tzedako u'mishpat. What's Tzedako u'mishpat? That judgment and compromise. But Knosses, which are not mishpat, because a penalty is actually more than what the primary judgment is, that's what was added on. When we say dinin, that was added on the Mara, besides the dinin that were tzedakah mishpat that the Bnei Noach had, which were also one of the seven that the Jews accepted. But the Gemara asked, akati vahisifa bedinim mebayla, but still the terminology is difficult, because it shouldn't have said that they added on judgment, should have said they added on in the judgments, which that would have been understood to say that in the halachas of judgments that they already were commanded on from the Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach, now, however, they added on in those judgments to say that they went and added on dinin knasas too. But by saying hoisivel and dinin, that sounds like they added on all the halachas of dinin. That's not true. You're saying they had it up until now. So Elam Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, he says, Lainitzucha el loheshev beznim chob pelech opelech. It's coming to say that what they added on in Mara, yes, they were always dinin, and that's the first seven that they have. But they added on that you have to put at every country, and by every city, a court. And that's something that was added on for the Jewish people in Mara. But the non-Jews who have dinin didn't have that halacha. But that the Gemara asked, but if could you tell me a non-Jew is not commanded in putting courts also by every city and by every country? But Vitanya in the Braisa, it says, Keshem shen stavi Yisrael, Laheshev bati din mechol pelech o pelech o bechol ir v'ir. Just like the Jewish people are commanded to put courts, judges, by every country and every city, as the Pasuk says, in Devarim Tezayin, titin lechol bechol sharech, you should put it by every gate. Kach nitztava b'nei neich Laheshev bati din mechol pelech o pelech o bechol ir v'ir. So too, the non-Jews are commanded to put courts by every city and by every country. Because, as we quoted that Pasuk before from where we know from Vayitzav, which refers to dinim, which we learn from Avraham Avinu, that said Vashitzav is banav, it says over there the term tzedaku u'mishpat. And here also it says v'shaftu is amishpat tzedek, which that's the pasuk that teaches us that you have to have it by the Jewish people, and therefore just like Jewish people have to have it by every gate, so do the non-Jews. So that cannot be what was added on more than the non-Jews, than Bnei Noach. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, Hai Tana, the Tana of this brisa that we quoted before that said, that's we were asking difficulty in the first brisa that said that Hasif Aleim Dinin, which sounds like that the Bnei Noach were not commanded in Dinim, and we had said but that was the first of the Bnei Noach that they have, is Tanu de Bnei Menashehu. It's the brisa of the Yeshiva Menashe, de Mafik Dach, that he takes out of the count of the seven mitzvah Bnei Noach, Dach, which refers to Dinim, which are judgments, and Chaf is from the word of Birchas Hashem. He does not hold those are from the seven mitzvah Bnei Noach, and of course, therefore, that was what Hasif Aleim Bemara, V'ayal Sach. And rather, he puts in Samach Chav, which refers to Siris, which is sterilization, and the Chav is Kalayim, which those are part of the seven mitzvah Bnei Noach. The Tana Bnei Menashe, like we learned in the Braisa, Yeshiva Menashe. Sheva mitzvah Bnei Noach, Sheva mitzvah Nistav Bnei Noach. There were seven commandments that the Bnei Noach were commanded on, which later on the Gemara is going to explain, because the Tana Bnei Menashe does not expound the seven mitzvahs from the same Pasuk of Eitzav that we were saying for the first Tana that we had brought down from Amud Aleph. And what are these seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach according to the Tanna Bnei Menashe, not including dinim? And again, that's why he's the one that holds that was added on by the Jews in Mara. There are avodah zarah, idol worship, gila rayas, forbidden intimate relationships, shvichas damim, murder, gezel, robbery, ve'evim and achai, and eating a limb of an animal when it's from a living animal, sirus, sterilizing, and uklayim, and forbidden mixtures. Rabbi Yehudah, another opinion mentioned once we bring down this brisa, he says, Adam Arishon lo yinitztava ela al avodah zarah bavad. He says, no, the first man was only commanded in one prohibition, that of idol worship. Shlomo says in the Pasuk, the way he reads it is, Vayitzav Hashem alikim al Adam, that Hashem, God, commanded on man, What that means to say is, what did he command on man? Elohim, meaning he's the Elohim, which is essentially the name of Hashem that's the ruler of this whole entire world, that he should not be exchanged with any other Elohim Acher, Elohim Acher. That's the one commanded. That's the one commandment that Adam Rishon had. He adds on another one. He says, "Aval Berchas Hashem," also regarding cursing God, because that's also learned out from Elohim, which is that he commanded on Adam his Elohkus, his godship. That he, in other words, that he should not curse him, like the pasuk says in Shemesh Chabez, "Elohim leisakal," don't curse God. You see that the term Elohim is used in the context of that I'm the Elohim, I'm the ruler, and therefore you cannot curse. But yes, I mean, those say that it was a third Isra included in even the simple translation of the pasuk, that afal adinim, he was also commanded regarding judgments, which is also learned from Elohim, which is that my Elohim should be on you, that my fear should be on you, and that should be in your heart, and that you should not have the fear of flesh and blood to deviate from the right judgment, because ki amishpat el Elohim hu, like the pasuk says elsewhere, that judgment is for God, as Rav continues to explain, where, as the Gemara tells us, Kaman Azla Hada Amr Yehuda Merav. Who is this following teaching of Yehuda Merav like? Which Tana? Rav expounds that when Adam Rishon is told, when he says Vayitzave Hashem Elikim al Adam, which could be translated as that Hashem commanded on Adam that he's Elikim, Elikimani, I am God. That's what it was said to Adam Rishon. What Hashem was telling him was Leitekal Aluni, do not curse me. Again, like the pasuk says, Elikim Leisakal, Elikim, so don't curse. Likimani, I'm God, loy tamiruni, do not exchange me. Like the pasuk says, loy elohim acher malpanei zulasi, that there should not be any other gods for you in my presence, which is anywhere in the world. That's because Hashem says, I'm God, which is avodah zarah. And likimani, I am God, yehi mayroi aleichem, that my fear should be on you, as the pasuk says elsewhere, that the term likim, it refers to the ruler, the leader, like it says, nasati likim lepare, that he was told to Moshe Rabbeinu that I made you an Elikim to Pari. That doesn't mean he was a god. It means he was ruling over Pari. That what the Pasuk is saying, that my fear should be on you, but not the fear of flesh and blood. Like the Pasuk says, Leisugur Bnei Ish. Do not be afraid of a man when you come in to judge him. Ka Mishpat Elikimu, like the Pasuk says in Devarim Aleph, because the judgment is for God, which refers to Dinan. Says the Gemara, who's Rav like? Come on, that's Ki Yesh Emer. That's like the Yesh Emer who included all these three halachas from this term of commanding Adam on Elikim. One is regarding Avodah Zarah, one is regarding Berchas Hashem, and one is regarding Dinim. Those are all understood from the context of commanding Adam with Elikim. That's these three different opinions, which Rav is like the third one, the Yesh Emer, that has all those three learned from the Pasuk. Whereas again, we had those other pins that hold that he was commanded in seven mitzvahs, the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, which we said that this halacha that held that what was included in Maru was Dinin, was obviously like Tana Ben Menashe, who doesn't hold that Dinin were from the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach.